The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
So it was definitely unexpected, which I think also is part of the Lord teaching us.
Suffering through multiple miscarriages and deaths in the family, Jonathan and Kanika Evans grew in their faith and were drawn closer to God.
There were things that we faced together where we had to learn how to grow together, how to work together, how to be a part of the team to continue to progress in the direction that God wanted us to go.
Next.
Hi, welcome to Life Today. I'm Sheila Walsh, here with Randy Robeson. And one of the things that I really love that we get the privilege to do is God misses nothing. You know, you sitting at home, you've gone through suffering, you've gone through hard times. And one of the things I know now more than I've ever done is that God is a redeemer. You know, that He gives us the privilege of stewarding our suffering. And He brings things out of it that only He could. And that's why, Randy, I'm thrilled for today's couple. We have Jonathan and Kanika Evans with us. And you've written this great book called Fighting Your Battles, Every Christian's Playbook for Victory. Now, when I read the title, I thought, oh, this is for my husband. But actually, no, I found that this is a book that for every single one of us makes a significant impact. But I have to say, first of all, I watched a little video you did, and I don't know whether you were speaking in a church or something, but you said something that I thought, I love that. You said, you're talking about relationships or life, and you said, if it's not good yet, God's not done yet.
That's right. That's right. I mean, all things work together for good, for those who love God and are called according to His purposes. And so God works those things out. And, you know, my mom always told me, especially before she passed away, she told me, you cannot quit in the misery because it's the misery that catapults you to the ministry.
Wow.
That God doesn't waste anything and He uses everything. And so we've gone through a lot in our family, most recent, and even in our family specifically. I mean, things happen. My dad said, you're either in a storm, on your way to a storm, or you just got out of one.
So
we live that life as people. And so we've got to learn how to battle well.
Yeah. And people know your dad. Dr. Tony Evans, of course, Anthony, your brother's been on the show, Priscilla, Crystal Evans, Hurst. I mean, your family has been sort of a powerhouse of ministry. How did you guys, when y'all came together, come into your own?
Well, that's a good question. We met at Baylor University. She took a lot longer than I was accustomed to come close to me, so I had to really work hard. That was one battle in and of itself.
Right, and worth fighting.
Absolutely. But once we, you know, became one, there were things that we faced together where we had to learn how to grow together, how to work together, how to be a part of the team to continue to progress in the direction that God wanted us to go. And as we learned that team unity between the two of us, we were able to work that out in ministry settings. We're able to work that out in our family settings and ultimately teach it to our kids, which is what we're doing right now. And so it's just a part of growing together. It's just a part of the process.
I wanted to ask you something, Kanika, because my husband Barry and I, we have one son who's now 26. But I also got pregnant one more time and we lost that little one. And that's very much part of your story. And I don't think people understand how devastating miscarriage can be. Can you speak to that?
Well, I just feel like when you miscarry, and maybe you felt similar to this, that you have all of these unanswered questions, you have these what ifs, you're like, well, my baby would have been born this month. You know, you think about all of those things, or my baby would be this age now. And, you know, we have five children, and it's easy for someone to think, oh, well, you had five children, so it's not a big deal. You know, and we definitely are very grateful that the Lord saw fit to bless us with more children, but it still doesn't take away, you know, that feeling, like you always just know what that feels like, so.
Where did the miscarriages occur? Because didn't you have two children before? Because that seemed unusual to me, and maybe it's not.
But... Well, it seemed unusual to us, too.
That's exactly right.
Yes, we had two children, and then two miscarriages, and then we had two more children, two more miscarriages, and then our fifth.
Wow.
So it was definitely unexpected, which I think also is part of the Lord teaching us that He's ultimately in control, and just because we decide we want to have another baby,
Yeah. That's exactly
that doesn't
right.
mean
yeah.
that it's just going to
exactly
happen.
Right.
Y'all talked about that in that time, and you had different responses. You talked about the comfort. You talked about the control. I'd love you to expound on what God was showing you through that painful process.
And no doubt about it. And that's what we did in this book is, you know, we put the QR codes in there so that we can tell the story so that you can watch the videos.
Right.
But a part of that is us understanding that this thing is higher than we think. Mm-hmm. You know, God gave us victory, and sometimes victory positions you for defeat in a way, because you have victory after victory after victory, and then you start operating independent from God because you get used to what God has done.
Right.
It's like our children. Mm-hmm. Children, they do it all the time. You know, they're like, Dad'll do it, and then they become irresponsible in it. Mm-hmm. And so our first two children, we were praying for them. We were, we're just excited. God bless us, all of those different things.
Oh, yeah.
When it came to number three, I was just saying, all right, it's time again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those victories got me in a position where I was becoming more independent and not dependent on God. And God was reminding me, just because I've given you victory in the past doesn't mean you don't need to depend on me for victory in the present.
That's good.
And so we learned that, and we learned to, oh, wait a minute, this is much higher than we think. Mm-hmm. It's not just down here, but this is a higher thing.
Yeah.
We need to depend on God because these are His kids, not just our kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's something very significant, though, about baby number five. And the timing and what God spoke into that situation. Would you tell our viewers?
So we had four children, and Jonathan was like, all right, that was great.
We're done.
Good even numbers, right?
And I did not feel like that. And I was like, babe, I don't know. I feel like we're supposed to have one more. And he was like, are you sure?
I think we're good.
So we prayed about it, and we were like, Lord, just show us if we're supposed to have another one. And I mean, immediately, he just started showing us situations. Yeah. We were like, okay. Like, it was very obvious. And so at that time when we said, okay, we feel like the Lord wants us to have a fifth, that's when we had the two miscarriages. So we were like, it's just not yet.
And we had an unfortunate death in our family.
Yeah.
Winter Pitts passed away. It was July 24th, 2018.
Mm-hmm. Which is his first cousin.
This is my first cousin.
Yeah, they've been on the program. Yeah.
She is also the person that was praying for our fifth baby.
Wow.
She's the first person you told, right?
Mm-hmm.
First person you told. So she's praying for this baby.
After two miscarriages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, after two, exactly.
Yeah.
So she's praying for us. And of course, the baby makes it and Winter doesn't. So Winter passes away. 6 months later, this baby is born. The baby is born on December 21st, which is the first day of winter.
Really?
That's the first day of winter.
Wow.
And
so,
we said if it was a girl, that we were going to name her after Winter, because we never found out what we were having.
That's
and
right.
So we found out in the delivery room it was a girl.
Yeah, we never find out what we're having. So we found out it's a girl, and then we named her Jade Winter Evans.
Wow.
And Jonathan Pitts, Winter's husband, comes to the hospital and holds the baby on the first day of winter.
Oh, wow.
6 months after winter passed. And so God was doing something in His timing. He was teaching us, but He was also winking at us, at Jonathan Pitts, at the daughters. I mean, He was doing so many things in His sovereignty all at once, even through our heavy hearts and our loss and Jonathan's loss, that He's in control.
And because Winter, I mean, that was unexpected. She was young. I mean, she was
38.
I mean, that didn't make sense to us.
Yeah.
And probably, I'm sure, to you guys, too. How did that impact not just Jonathan, but the other children?
Yeah, it's tough because not just Jonathan's daughters, even though they were heavily impacted, obviously, but all of the kids in our family, because that was a part of a string of losses that we had. We lost 8 family members in 2 years.
Wow. Right.
And so it was like every 4 to 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so the kids, even now, when we talk about, you know, somebody either getting injured or being hurt, they're just sitting there thinking, but does this story end with someone dying?
Mm-hmm.
Like they're
stop
very...
us in the middle of the story. They'll say, okay, just tell us, is everybody okay?
Everybody okay.
Yeah.
So how did it, when you had Jade Winter and all those things lining up, because that's kind of crazy. She had to be conceived at
exact
right
moment.
Time.
Oh, yeah.
You can go day early, day late, it wouldn't have hit
exactly.
Could have been a boy instead of a girl. How did that impact them when they saw that? Because that's pretty amazing.
Well, you know, Jonathan did a great job. You jump in. Jonathan did a great job. Even when Winter passed away, I remember him saying, girl, she's with Jesus now. I mean, that day, she's with Jesus now. God's got her. We just have to continue to do what she taught us, continue to do what God has taught us to do. And as they're in tears, he's saying, God's got us. Mm-hmm. When they were holding Jade Winter, they mm-hmm. looked at each other and said, God's got us.
Yeah, wow. That's beautiful.
It all came full circle.
Yeah.
When God gave them that wink, and it was an obvious wink, they recognized the favor of God, the mm-hmm. blessing of God, and the birth of Jade Winter, because they knew. For this to happen on that day, right, at this time, right, with this gender, you know.
And they had moved to Nashville, so that was the day they came in town. The day she was born is the day they came in town for Christmas break.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they were not even here, and they were planned to come here long before. So
wow.
That's just too much, right?
it's got to work.
When you walk through that kind of loss and that kind of suffering, how has that impacted you as a woman?
Wow. It obviously reminds you of your mortality.
Yeah.
It reminds you to cherish each moment with your kids. And so a lot of things, just being a mom of multiple children anyway, you know, trying not to sweat the small stuff and really do things that have meaning for the kids and for the family and making memories. And, you know, I feel like we're just kind of more like, let's just do it.
That's
you
right.
know, like just trying to just enjoy the moments that we have together as a family.
Yeah,
and you grew up in a household of faith. I mean, your dad is very much loved and respected here.
Yes.
But I wonder, walking through so much loss and praying for God to do something and then God not answering the way that you
right.
want, how has that shaped you?
Well, it's shaped, it's cemented my faith even harder. And the reason why is because when I was the most angry at God, when my mom passed away, I went before God with an unveiled face. Now, let me tell you, I was angry. I had doubt. I was all the emotions you can think of. And I really went after God. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were walking around the house like Jericho. We had people praying all over the world. Mm-hmm. We did everything that the scripture commands. Mm-hmm. And to see it not work out, and God, it was a dialogue.
Yeah.
And he said, well, the reason why you're acting this way, feeling this way, even though there's justification to it, you're missing my victory. You don't understand the nature of my victory. Mm-hmm. You think the nature of my victory is only embedded in the thought of humanity. Mm-hmm. But really, the nature of my victory happened 2,000 plus years ago when my son Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. You ask for your mom to be healed, she's healed. You ask for your mom to be with family, she's with family. You ask for your mom to be well taken care of, she's well taken care of. You ask for your mom to be resurrected, she's not resuscitated. That's to die again, she's resurrected.
Mm. Wow.
So
wow.
What I gave you was a greater victory than what you prayed for, but your mind is stuck on the here and now, and you don't understand that what you prayed for, I gave you at a higher level that you could ever imagine in your life. Mm. This is what real victory looks like, even in the midst of loss.
Wow.
Is that a little bit of what you're talking about when you talk about stewarding the battles?
Yeah. No doubt about it. I think that we have to understand, and this is a big thing that helped me, is that we think stewardship is just when it comes to money and materialism and our family and things of that nature.
Right.
But 2 Chronicles 20:15 says that the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. So he's saying the trouble that you're facing and dealing with, that belongs to me too. Mm. And you're taking the ownership of it, which is why you're carrying all the burden of it, which is why you're sitting in all of those emotions, sitting in a dark room, sitting in depression, sitting in anxiety, because you're trying to be the one to manipulate the outcome.
Wow.
I'm the one over the outcome. Hmm. I'm the one who owns this. I'm just asking you to steward it, because as you steward it, I will grow you, I will teach you, I will use you the way that I made you.
Wow.
But I own it. So the Bible says, come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Cast your cares upon me. I will sustain you. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. I will make your path. So God is trying to take responsibility, but he will not take responsibility from someone who's satisfied being God themselves.
Oh. Wow.
Wow. Your book is called Fighting Your Battles, Every Christian's Playbook for Victory. What's your prayer that when somebody finishes your book that they take away from this?
Yeah, the thesis would just be, we've already won, but I want you to experience the win that you've already won. The victory has already been given to us, but we have to understand that we're not fighting for victory, we're fighting from victory.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we understand that and understand the nuances of how to think and how to go through our battles, then we can trade God prayer and supplication for his peace, and we can finish well.
Mm. This is all solid biblical truth and very applicable. I know it's not always easy.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Right?
Yeah.
What's either one of you? What's the hardest part sometimes of maintaining a regular focus on these kinds of truths and applying them as you're just going through life, raising kids, and you know, doing the things?
Well, no doubt about it. I mean, I think the hardest thing for most people, and it was for me, is differentiating my feelings and the truth.
Mm. Yeah.
Because when you're going through the battle, your emotions have a lot of control.
Yeah.
For most people, they are all encompassing. They have the control, and then they begin to govern your movement. The truth no longer governs the movement. My depression governs the movement. What happened to me governs the movement. My history, what this person did to me, governs my movement. Mm-hmm. The battle that I'm in is governing my movement, and I'm letting the battle take me away from my training. Mm-hmm. But it's the training that gives you success in the battle. And so when we learn how to allow the truth to lead, then we have to let God let the feelings catch up to how we're walking versus the other way around.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just wondering, for women who are watching and who maybe have just recently gone through what you have walked through, what would you say to them when they just feel like this pain will never ease?
Well, I feel like in the midst of really my first miscarriage, the Lord was so gracious to give me peace, although I definitely felt all of the emotions. And some of it is because I'm from a medical background. And
so you would know the signals.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like even whenever they came in and did the sonogram and the sonographer was very quiet.
Yeah.
And I was like, I looked at Jonathan. I was like, that's not good.
Yeah.
But God gave me peace in the thought that if something is, you know, terribly wrong with this child and they're going to suffer, you know, their whole life trying to overcome medical issues and stuff like that, who am I to say I want this baby to be here when the baby could be with the Lord, you know? And the other thought that the Lord brought to me was, if this child is going to grow up and not know you,
take him home.
I'd rather than be with you.
Yeah, I'd rather than be with you. So for me, I mean, it obviously, like I said, it didn't take the pain away, but it did give me peace in during that time.
Like, yeah, God knows what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah. God knows what he's
absolutely
doing. You tell a story in the opening of your book about a young man you called J2. I'd love for you to share that with our audience.
Yeah, so J2, okay, his name is Jonathan II. We call him J2, just throw a little swag on it. So J2, I put him in football, and he did really well flag football. He's fast, he can catch, he's got natural ability, something like his dad.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe his mom.
I knew that was coming. I knew it.
But then I put him in tackle football. Mm-hmm. And once I switched him to tackle football, boy, I mean, he was out there thinking, man, look how big they are. Look how they catch. So he's looking at them externally, and he's totally forgetting about his ability. He's totally forgetting about all the training that we did before. He's totally forgetting about everything because he's looking at the size of his opponent, not the size of his training, the size of what he's gone through, and all those different things.
And with the pads and everything,
everything changes. So I put old video in front of his face before the game, and I showed him scoring all these touchdowns and reminded him of where he's been. So my goal was that let me show you your testimony so that you can have more confidence in your next test. And he went out there and played well. And so a lot of times when we see the size of what we're going through, we forget about what God has brought us through.
So true.
We need to be reminded about what God has brought us through so that we can face what he's taking us to.
Yeah, see, I love that story.
Word.
Yeah, right? There's so many good stories in his book, and I hope you'll call and request it today. But we're going to ask you to help us fight a battle today, one that can be won, that we look at the past, has been won in many cases, but still needs to be fought. Take a look at this and you'll see how you can join us in winning this battle.
Tonight, there will be children in various parts of the world who will not be tucked into a warm bed by a caring loved one, who will not experience the security and safety of a permanent place they can call home. Instead, they will be found in streets filled with drugs and violence, or down alleyways teeming with strangers who could harm them. And for some, they will find themselves trapped in broken homes of grinding poverty and despair. all of this becomes a breeding ground for the unimaginable. Human traffickers who will target these children, kidnap, and force them into the sex slave trade. For most of these children, the sexual abuse will produce physical and emotional scars that will haunt them for the rest of their lives. For others, they may either die in captivity or simply disappear, never to be heard from again. These are the realities that no child should ever have to face, but they will. Every minute, two children will be exploited by a sex slave trader somewhere in the world. Who will be their next victim?
You know, I remember when I was in school, I was probably about 12 or 13, and there was a girl who liked to pick on me because I was shorter than her. And she was quite, I mean, I was actually really afraid of her. And then one day, another girl in the class stood beside me and said to her, if you want to hurt her, you're going to have to come through me. And it changed everything. And that's what we want to do for these girls that are being trafficked all around the world. They're just little girls, so many of them. They're 12, 13 years old. They're suddenly just kidnapped and they're drugged and they wake up discovering some man in a room with them. And they're told if you try and escape, I mean, some of them have showed us the scars on their back where they've been whipped if they try to escape or not do what they're told to do. What they need is somebody to stand beside them and say, if you want to get to her, you're going to have to come through me. And that is our privilege as God's sons and daughters on the earth, that we get to speak up for those who don't have a voice. We get to speak up for those right now. I mean, I know right now these girls are crying out, saying, if there is a God, will you please, please help me? And Randy, through Rescue Life, we have the privilege of making a difference. We get to go in, literally sunrise at midnight, kick the doors down, have the traffickers arrested, have these girls brought to a place of hope and freedom. And if you'll help us, we can keep doing it.
Yeah, it's hard to watch those pictures, those hellish pictures. But, you know, Sheila, we had a guest on a while back. I forget who it was, but he said, whatever you do, you're either bringing heaven down or you're raising hell. Well, let me tell you, there is hell in this world. You don't have to look far to see it. But we are here, you and I. We're here to bring heaven into that situation. How do we do it? Well, we've got a team. We've got people on the ground. We've got people ready to go to step in, literally to step in, as Sheila said, between some of them and say, you're not taking them across the border or, you know, they're leaving here today. But it's very complex in a lot of situations. But we've been doing this for years and we are wanting to do even more. But we have to have your help. You guys provide the finances and the prayer, and I think both are hugely important to continue to do this, to reach, to rescue, and to restore. Now, normally, it costs an average of $128 to do this for one child. Just when we look at all the programs, or we're training, and we're kicking down doors, or whatever we're doing in different parts of the world, including here in the United States, by the way. But we have a wonderful matching grant right now that will enable your gift to be doubled in impact. What does that mean? That means your gift today of $128 will help reach, rescue, or restore two children. Many of you could do more than that. $128 is wonderful for reaching two, but if you can give, say, $1,280, then that would reach 20. Now, this is the last week we'll be on the air asking for this during this campaign, so I really am asking you right now to make the best gift you can. Some of you can reach that $1,280 level. We want to say thank you for that. But whatever you can do, we want you to jump in and fight this battle with us, because the victory is the Lord's, but we need to fight and we can do more. So go online, go to the phones, and give the best gift you can.
Innocent children and young people longing to be loved and cared for are being abducted and sold at the hands of violent predators, forced into the evil industry of human trafficking. Through Mission Rescue Life, you can reach out to warn children who are at risk for sex trafficking, rescue those already enslaved, and restore young lives and give them a future. With a generous $320,000 matching gift, now your gift of $128 to help reach, rescue, or restore one child can be doubled to help two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help save one child from the horrors of human trafficking. And a $32 mission rescue gift will be doubled to $64. With your gift today, we'll send you I Hear His Whisper. Each entry in this beautiful 365-day devotional will encourage you with words of comfort, joy, and love as you encounter God's heart and hear His gentle voice. With a gift of $128 or more, you'll receive What Does Your Jesus Look Like? This captivating book by sculptor Scott Stearman shares compelling stories and beautiful images, revealing how we can be the image of Christ to a watching world. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,280, which will now help save 20 children, and you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Let the Children Come. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
What you're seeing behind me right now is some villagers who are learning how to not be lured into sex trafficking. We know for a fact that some girls have disappeared from this area and have not been heard of again. It's critical that we reach into areas like this and educate them so that they will know what to look for, so when the sex traffickers come back through this area, no more will be taken. We're doing all that we can to reach into places like this, to rescue the girls that have been taken and to restore their lives and restore their families and restore their villages. I hope you'll go to the phone right now, go online, do what you can. The Rescue Life program is making a huge impact in areas that really need the love of God. Do what you can. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And if the lines are busy, please keep calling. This is the last week. When we go out there and we spend time with these girls, we promise they will come home and not just tell their story, but will make a difference. For any gift at all, you can request your own copy of Fighting Your Battles by Jonathan Evans.
And Jonathan, Kanika, we appreciate you guys sharing such great wisdom. So good. Thank you for being with us.
Yeah, we're glad to be here. Thank you so much.
Is there a website where people can follow you?
Yeah, jonathanblakeevans.com, and the Instagram and Facebook is the same, Jonathan Blake Evans.
Excellent. It's so great. Appreciate you sharing. Appreciate you guys being a part of it today. Share this with other people and come back for more Life Today every day.
See you. Bye.
David Eubank and his family put themselves in danger to bring help, hope, and love to people caught in conflict areas. Tomorrow on Life Today. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.